The girls are melting me over there. Speaking of melting, praise God. I missed being here last week. I don't know if any of you all came, but it is beautiful. There's something about walking in the snow, even though you really couldn't walk that first day, but just something about watching the snow come down and listening to songs like these in your ears. Just, I turned into Thor, man. It was powerful. Oh, God is good. The Philippian church wasn't perfect, just like any other church. But in contrast to most of the other churches that Paul was affiliated with in the New Testament, the people at Philippi really didn't have any major problems, any major moral or spiritual problems like some of the other churches. I mean, you start digging in Corinthians, look how you could spend a couple years there. It's unbelievable. But I see these things, you know, that Paul shared with the church at Philippi, and I see these same verses like reaching out to us right here at Community Christian Fellowship almost 2,000 years later. And I'm supposed to urge you today, this generation, this 2016 where we're living, he says in Philippians 1:27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent or stuck in some kind of snowstorm, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Beautiful. Almost 2,000 years later, still relevant, still from God, still meaning for our church here. A few verses later, Paul exhorts them with something that I want to exhort our church, which is really his church here on Vent Hill Road, and tell you, make my joy complete. He says in Philippians 2:2-4, by being the same mind, and I love maintaining the same love. I love that, maintaining the same love. United in spirit, intent in one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, a great word that came up in our community group today, humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you're really more important than I am. It's beautiful. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. Man, that was good, man. Later on in the chapter, Paul commands us, right here at Community Christian Fellowship, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves. Isn't that cool? You want to prove yourselves to God? I do every day. Man, I want to prove my love for Him. I want to prove my love for you. To be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of, am I talking about this generation or not? A crooked and perverse generation. A crooked and perverse generation. Where there are billions of dollars being made, Mark shared in our community group today. There was a conference up here, a night to talk about slavery in the world. And I found out today that Virginia is the fifth largest slave trade in America. That blew me away today. There are things going under. There are battles going on. And the enemy's doing everything he can to soak people up, to take them away from God. Take them away from living from God. And we're supposed to prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear like lights in the world. I mean, we're the light of Christ. We're supposed to share that light, live that light. And don't those verses speak to us today? With all the things going on in the world, be blameless, he's telling us. Be innocent. Be children of God above reproach. Meaning above criticism, above censor, above reprimand, above blames, above accusations, above scolding. And if and when we have these things that might be hard to resolve, we might come upon issues that might be hard to resolve here, or unresolved points of contention like Euodias and Syntyche had in chapter 4, Paul tells them, and it can be sent to us almost 2,000 years later. Live in harmony in the Lord. Live in harmony in the Lord. Paul encouraged the entire church at Philippi, and I want to encourage you today from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's why in your listening, God, each week, we put in prayer requests. Present your request to God. Write them down. Put it in a plate on the way out, and we will pray for you. I long to pray for you. I long to make those requests from your request to make them known to God. And then I'm reading over this for the last couple of weeks, just reading it and meditating on it and thinking, well, what are my requests to God? What are my requests right here today, the last day of January in 2016? And I really think the answer was for us to listen. For us to listen as the Holy Spirit will take these scriptures that Joe Jordan so beautifully put up there, that we can read and allow the Holy Spirit to meditate those things in our heart. So listen is my request today. Listen, as the Spirit wants nothing else but to show us things from the book of Philippians. And chapter 1, you know, I did the first two verses today. Verses 3 through 8, we're not going to make it through, but praise God. He gives us five elements, five spirited, created elements of joy in those verses. And I hope to do three of them today. I'm going to try to do my best to get through three verses today because there's so much stuff in these verses. I'm excited about it. So I entitled the thing R.I.P. because I thought, hey, that's pretty cool, man. Rest in peace, man. So the first element of the five is remembrance. That's the R part, the joy of remembrance. And he says in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I got so much out of that verse, seriously. Can you stay till 2 today? It's beautiful. The phrase, my God, right there, that reflects Paul's deep intimacy and communion with the Lord, to whom he belonged and whom he served. And that's what happened to each one of us. That's what will happen with each one of us as we desire, as we seek, as we commit to have a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. And for us to long to have that deep communion with Him. And what will be the outcome of that? That we'll want to serve Him by using our gifts, by using our passions, by using our talents. That we will want to serve Him by reaching out to our church family and our neighbors and our work associations, because we want them to understand the mystery that God took when He took the veil away from our eyes. We want them to understand the mystery of Christ. We want them to experience Christ. We want them to even feel why He has given us so much joy and contentment from knowing and growing in Him. The last thing Peter wrote, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be glory for Him both now and forever. Amen. So Paul's remembrance, that one verse, I want to take you to Acts 16. That's where we're going to camp out for a little while today. Acts chapter 16. Because Paul's remembrance of Philippians began with his second missionary journey. When the apostle first came to Philippi, he was specifically, if you look at the verses in Acts 16, he was specifically directed by the Holy Spirit to go to Macedonia. And Macedonia was a province which Philippi was located. And he was told to go there rather than Bithynia, as he and Silas, really, that's where they wanted to go, but the Spirit told him to go to Philippi. So what did Paul remember? Why is Paul putting in this word, I thank God in all my remembrance of you? Let us start with one of the women that he met at the river that day, Lydia. Isn't that a beautiful name? A worshiper of God, that is a Gentile proselyte to Judaism, the commentary says. And if you look at Acts 16, 13 through 15, he says, on the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate to a riverside. Man, Kurt Franklin has a song called By the Riverside. Highly, highly recommend you listen to it. Beautiful. They went to the riverside where they were supposing that there would be a place of prayer there. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God. And What was she doing? Listening. Listening. She was listening, and the Lord opened her heart and responded to the things spoken by God. She was listening. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urges, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. I just had this picture in my mind of this pile of snow out there. We could do some baptisms right now today. Right out here in the snow would be powerful. But Lydia and her household, when I study the scriptures and I study the commentators, she was the first Christian convert in Europe and became the nucleus of the continent's first church. And it talks about the generosity that the church at Philippi had, the hospitality that they exhibited, characterized that congregation for years to come. So I guess if I wanted to give the Lord my request today, I would say that we would be nothing else but generous to one another. That we would be nothing else but hospitable to one another. That's why we started these seven groups here, meeting at 9:30 in seven different rooms. Because we want to have a place for you to connect with other believers. I'm telling you, our group today in the Fellowship Hall was fantastic. And I'm sure all of you all that attended the other groups would say the same thing. Because we got to fellowship with one another. We got to take questions from the message. And you'll see the questions in your thing today for next Sunday. Just take the time and go through them. I mean, it'd be like 7 to 10 questions a week. And just pour into them. Open the scriptures. Write down your feelings. And we gather together from 9:30 to 10:30 to love on each other. To pray for each other. My wife got to give Tammy Taylor a hug today. And tell her that we loved her and we're caring for her and we're praying for her. And that's what we want to do with each other. That's what community and fellowship is all about. So that happened. Lydia was listening. She gave her heart to the Lord. And next in talking about Paul's remembrance was a young demon-possessed girl in Philippi. I don't think they ever give her name. Who brought her own owners considerable wealth from her fortune-telling. Now, when Paul came in there, she dogged, the commentary said, she dogged the apostle and his companion for many days. Acts 16:16-18, it happened that as they were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out and saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." See, God can use anybody He wants to share the gospel. God can use anybody, and she's speaking those things out, and she continued doing it for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. And I thought, that had to be powerful. In reading those passages, I want to go offline for a moment. If you have your Bibles with you, Isaiah chapter 8, I have a little story for you about divination. Because being a youth pastor, I had many teenagers come up and ask me, "Well, what about, you know, the signs and Pisces and all that? And what about seances? You know, what does the Bible say about that?" And I'm telling you, this is probably 1991. It was in December. Kathy and I were going out Christmas shopping, and I'm working on this message in the car for Sunday to talk to the youth. And I came upon this passage in Isaiah 8:19. And I started studying it. And I started reading it. And we were right by Springfield Mall. And we turned in at the light. You probably remember this, guys. A long time ago, man. We were a lot younger then. But we pulled in this. And we told, Kathy goes, "I want to look in the store right there." So I'm reading these verses in Isaiah 8:19. And I'm reading it, and I'm seeing something blinking. And I look up, and right next to the store where Kathy went in to look, right next to there was a store that had a thing, fortune teller. Come, get your fortune told. And I'm reading these verses. Check it out. "When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished and will turn down. And when they're hungry, they'll be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. And they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness and gloom and anguish. And they will be driven away into darkness. So if I was you, I really wouldn't mess around with divination. I really wouldn't mess around with palm readers and stuff. So I'm reading these verses. Kathy's in the store looking, and I'm looking up at this blinking light. And I look, and there's like this girl, maybe 18, 19 years old, standing in there. And I feel like the Lord's telling me, you got to go in there and tell her about this. And I said, I'm not walking to no palm reading store, man. But I got out of my car, walked up to the door. I'm telling you, I did not want to step in there. I don't want to be associated with anything like that. And I stood at the door and I thought, and I brought my Bible with me because I felt like the Lord wanted me to read these scriptures to this very enticing young lady who was standing in there. Nobody else was in there. I mean, I really think it was a God-ordained moment. And I walked up to that door and I started to read the scriptures. And right when I started to read the Word of God, the light changed on the corner and all this traffic started coming by. Trucks, horns going, stuff. I'm sitting there reading the scripture here. Wah, 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 wah. All these noises going on. She never heard a word I said. And I felt the darkness. I felt it right there. And I thought, I'm not going in there. But I want to share with her the Word of God. So I'm reading the scriptures and all these noises are going on. And then it finally stopped because the red light probably went red again. And I looked at her and I said, you got to get out of this, man. This is not of God. This is divination. You'll end up in darkness. You'll end up without. You got to receive Christ. And I just remember that, seeing that. And Paul saw that. And although Luke, who wrote Acts, does not report it specifically in these scriptures in Acts 16, it's probable, like Lydia, that this girl was born again. And she became a sister in Christ, whom Paul now fondly remembered. And that's why he wrote that verse. Paul also would remember the time he spent in jail in Philippi because of the slave girl's owners. They were upset. They lost a great source of income and incited the townspeople against him and Silas. And I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe if this goes online and maybe I'll come and get arrested. When I thought about it, I thought about Planned Parenthood. I thought about Planned Parenthood. There are these videos come out, and I hope I say this. There's videos coming out of people selling babies, aborted babies, and selling parts of them. And who got arrested this week? The people that made the videos. Not Planned Parenthood. The people that made those videos are arrested now for telling the world what Planned Parenthood is doing. That there's 3,700 babies a day being sucked out of mother's wombs and thrown in the trash cans. And I feel like I need to say something about it because we're living in a crooked and perverse generation. But he's telling us to shine like bright stars in the sky. He's telling us to reach out to those people. He's telling us to love on people because they're in this quagmire of allowing the world to tell them what to do with a live human being that he ordained to be in a mother's womb. So this slave girl got saved. And it says in Acts 16, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and they're proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans. Isn't that what's happening today? These people that are putting these videos out are costing us money. We want them arrested. We want them put in jail. And the crowd rose up together with them and the chief magistrates. They tore their robes off and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, Paul's in prison just from sharing Christ. And not only did the Lord give Paul and Silas peace and joy in the midst of all that, he gave them songs to sing. They're sitting in jail, chained up, And they're singing and they're worshiping God. It says in 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners there were doing what? Listening. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I saw that. That just melted me. They were listening to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through Paul, bound up, chained up in prison. And Paul and Silas are sitting there singing, "Our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher than any other." Sorry about the voice, man. Oh my God, it's very sad. I can sing in the snow, man. Praise God. Lord is so good. He's so good. Hey, we're listening. And I know that Paul would have had remembered that, because that's why he said it in that verse. I remember of you. And then the way out in the city, there was some other place, some other time that he remembered when he was released from prison. And you can read about this. Write this in your listening guide, man. It'd be a great passage to read as a family guy. Acts 16, 26 through 34. Powerful. Powerful. But just because of time and I'm already scheduled to go to 2 p.m., I gotta hurry, you know what I mean? So on their way out of the city, Paul remembered this. After they were released from prison, Paul and Silas went back to Lydia's house, man. That Lydia must have been very hospitable. Reminds me of Lydia Gardner. It's unbelievable. They went to Lydia's house for the last time, and what did they do at her house? Encouraged. They are encouraged by the many believers there who came to send them all. And it says in Acts 16, 40, they went out from prison, entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, what did they do? They encouraged them, and they departed. So when you're listening, I put having a genuine desire to remember and focus on the goodness and kindness and successes of others does not involve denying their weakness and shortcoming, but rather looking past them. Kathy, thank you for looking past all my shortcomings. Thank you. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And I think he wants to tell us today, encourage one another. When we get in our community groups, encourage one another. Encourage each other during the week. There's a group of ladies that come here on Wednesday morning from 10 to 12. Beautiful. Beautiful. There's a group of ladies coming here on Wednesday night. There's a group of guys here Wednesday night, Saturday morning. We have placed opportunities for you to fellowship and to grow into your word, into his word. And I'm going to stand before God one day, and I don't want him to say, "Nick, you never gave an opportunity for someone to get connected. A visitor came in your church, you didn't love on them, you didn't email them, you didn't talk to them, you didn't provide an opportunity for them." I'm going to stand before God one day for that. And I want him to say, "Well done, Nick. You text that person, invited him. You emailed, you called him. You did everything you could to get him plugged in." The Holy Spirit prompts believers to appreciate others' love, to appreciate others' generosity and compassion. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brethren, as Christians, what should we dwell on? As we're in this world, this crooked and perverse generation, what should we dwell on?" Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right. Wait, let's read it together, man. Let's go. "Finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's good repute, if there is any excellent and anything worthy of his praise, dwell on these things." And I'm telling you, when you read it, do your hands like that. It's good. Dwell on those things, man. It's beautiful. I was teaching Bible at Christian Fellowship School probably 12 years ago, and I had this Bible test in it, and I felt like it was pretty hard, so I gave an extra credit. I think I shared this story with Lori a couple weeks back. I wanted to give them extra credit where they could gain some points, because I was worried they weren't going to do good on the test, man. No kid was doing this, you know what I mean? So my extra credit question was, Philippians 4:8 tells you what to dwell on. And I think I was using New American Standard. It probably says, "Think on these things." And I asked them to write the answer. What are you supposed to think on? A lot of them couldn't get it. A lot of them couldn't get it. a lot of them couldn't read the verse and write down true, honorable, right, pure, lovely. I mean, I walked away from, you know, when I graded the test, I walked away from there sad. You know, and I started blaming myself. Nick, are you teaching them? Are you pouring into them? Are you loving on them? So I made him memorize the verse. Praise God. And you're listening, God, on the other hand, because this is for us today, man, because we have a lot of things to complain about. We have a lot of things that get us down. We have a lot of things going on in the world that I think the enemy would want us to focus on them instead of the things that are lovely. And you can see it on there. On the other hand, a person who constantly focuses on the negatives, focuses on the faults, focuses on the shortcomings, focuses on the slight of others is a person not controlled by the Holy Spirit. I got to be honest with you. Bitterness, resentment, a critical spirit, holding grudges and the like are the works of the flesh, not of the Spirit. And I'm going to be honest with you. God bless my mom. She was negative. I grew up in a negative home. Everything was negative. I mean, I used to get in trouble because I used to record her on my cassette player when she was yelling at us, and then I'd play it back to her. Boy, she was upset, man. Mom, this is what you sound like. I used to blame it on the soap operas, man. She watched a lot of soap operas. Mom, don't watch that trash, man. And I wasn't even a Christian then. I said, Mom, don't watch those soap operas, man. They take you in another realm, another reality. Praise God. Think about what's true and honorable. Right. So much of Paul's joy was based on the pleasant, loving recollections of believers who, like those in Philippi, were consistently faithful to the Lord, their fellow believers, and to Him. Man, I'm doing pretty good. Second element, joy of intercession. And that's what you get out of Philippians 1:4. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Every prayer by joy. I'm telling you, I can't wait till June. Because school's going to be out, and Bill and I are going to meet here every morning, and we'll offer to any of you that meets here, I don't know what time it was, 7:30. It's a joy, man. Just coming and praying, just giving all your prayer requests, and we're reading them and praying for you. And I, you know, and if you get a chance to come, praise God, it's beautiful. Intercession is beautiful. Intercession is what God wants us to do. Maybe you have a spouse that's not living the way they should live. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Love on them. Serve them. Because I feel like those who are obedient to the Holy Spirit will delight in the privilege of intercessory prayer. Faithful and sincere intercession is much more than an obligation. It should be a joy. I can't wait. Faithful intercessors are more preoccupied with the needs and welfares of others than their own and ask God to pour out His divine blessing on them. That's my prayer request. The noun of prayer, desis, used twice in that verse, has the basic meaning of a request, an entreaty, or a supplication. And in the New Testament, it's always addressed to God. We're always praying to the Lord. Intercessory prayer sometimes involves disappointment and pain. Later in the letter, Paul counseled the Philippians this way, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern in which you have in us." So Paul's prayers for the Philippians were offered with great appreciation, great thankfulness, great joy. Believers who possess God's given joy do not focus on themselves even in the midst of pain and difficult circumstances. They're rather concerned about others. They're rather concerned about fellow believers, their pain, their difficulty, their circumstances, their hardships, their failures, their sorrows, and they earnestly intercede for them. Seriously, is Bethany Jarrett sitting in here right now? She's in the back. I want you guys to intercede for her and for Dylan. He's overseas, man. He's in the battle over there. He's in the service. He's in the military. He's due to come home when, Kelly? March? March. Pray for Dylan, man. I can't imagine. what it's like where he is right now. And he's been over there for a while now. I don't know if it's been quite a year, but it's been over there for a while. Pray for Bethany. Intercede for Bethany. Pray for Dylan. And I know every one of you all could give me names. Maybe you want to write them down in a prayer request today and put them in the door on the way out. I'd like you to intercede for such and such. They're going through a trouble in their marriage, or they're having trouble. Well, none of our, all our teenagers listen to our parents, to the parents here. But, you know, you know, you might be having trouble with, I saw a couple parents looking over. It was cool. But anyway, that was good, man. Intercede for one another. I mean, we've got a great group of teenagers. You probably can name two or three kids in your school that you need to pray for, that you need to intercede for because they're having trouble. Whether it's a guy that can't stop clicking on pornography, whether it's a girl that can't stop lying to her parents and running around and meeting somebody. Well, we were only having a Bible study together, son. Oh, boy, now I lost my place in everything trying to be funny, man. We joyfully pray for God to bless our fellow believers in every way. Above all, for their spiritual welfare. Intercede for them. Pray for them. Later in the letter in Paul, in Philippians 2, he said, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Lack of joy, and I got a message coming up in a couple of weeks, 10 joy killers, 10 joy robbers. But lack of joy reveals itself in three ways, in negative thoughts and talk about others, and the lack of concern for their welfare, and in the failure to intercede on their behalf. Joyless believers, and I'm going to give you a definition, they're self-centered, they're selfish, they're proud, they're vengeful. Their self-centeredness evidently manifests itself in prayerlessness. Number three, P, the joy of participation. So remembrance, intercession, and participation. Philippians 1:5, our last verse in Philippians today. In view of your participation in the gospel from the last day until now, he writes. So that third element of God-given joy is a joy of participation. Koinonia is commonly referred to fellowship or communion with each other. And it's shared when something is in common and you share that. And I wrote down, in the broadest sense, Paul rejoiced that Philippians were saved and thus partners with him in the spread of the gospel. That participation included their generous financial support of him. And I shared that with you a couple weeks ago. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. By far the most important thing all believers share is their spiritual oneness and their participation in the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship includes cooperation in the preaching of the good news of salvation to those who have never heard it, so that the spiritual fellowship might be enlarged and still greater to His glory. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Can the band come forward? Because I want to see y'all up here again, man. It's beautiful. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the gift of thanks to abound in the glory of God. Think about it. Look at that verse. For all this stuff going on is for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to this row and this row and this side and this side and this community group and that community group, we want the grace to spread unto you. We want the grace to get inside of you so that you can go out to your neighbors and your work associates and give the reason for the hope that you have. Spread the grace around, because people need grace. People need forgiveness. People need joy. We're living in a crooked and perverse generation, and He's calling community Christian fellowship to shine like bright stars in the universe. He's calling community Christian fellowship to hold fast to the Word, so that we will not run in vain. This is beautiful, man. Anybody want to get baptized in the snow, man? I can do it, man. I'm going to get my coat on. But praise God. Ushers, if you want to come forward. We had a little thing about giving, and we won't do that. But you have a sheet. Just go online. If you have any questions, the author of Simple Give is Kevin Wrench. Praise God. Oh my gosh. I didn't want to stop, but I got to be honest with you, man. I am tired. I mean, we went and saw the band last night. A lot of church members were there. And Kathy goes, well, how are we going to stay up? We only made it till 10:30 New Year's Eve, man. It was sad. So I told Kathy, when I get there, I'm going to have a Diet Coke, man. That caffeine's going to keep me awake, man. And it did help. But then when I got home, because Kathy said, what are you going to do when you get home? Laying in bed, man. Couldn't go to sleep. 1:30, 2 o'clock. Just thinking. And then this Fats Domino song came into my mind, but I can't remember the words right now, man. Anybody know a Fats Domino song? Hook me up, man. Hook me up. I'm walking. Yes, Marie, and I'm talking. For you and me, I'm walking. That you'll come back to him. Yeah. Praise God. That's what happens to me in the middle of the night, man. But that's got to be God, man. Download Fats Domino, man. He's a classical artist, man. Praise God. God is good. I'm going to pray, and then this band's going to play. And I don't know, because we got 15 minutes. Maybe somebody's going to want to come up for prayer. Maybe somebody's going to want to come up for us to intercede with others. Maybe people just want to come up to be close. I mean, I want to stand next to these two girls. They're beautiful. I mean, maybe people just want to come up and worship together, because something will happen. I mean, when you're up here singing, raising hands right up here, man, they're going to be in heaven because they're going to see you. Father, thank you for this time together today. Thank you for this church family, Father, who I'm so humbled. And at the same time, so excited. At the same time, so burdened. At the same time, I can't wait. I missed this place last Sunday. I can't wait to come in here tomorrow. I can't wait to go home and be with my wife. I don't know what to do, man. I'm torn between an unbelievable life at home and an unbelievable life here. And I just want to give you the glory for it. I can't wait to get in my car and listen to Let It Echo by Jesus Culture. I can't wait to get in my car and listen to Lauren Daigle. I can't wait to get in my car and listen to Caleb Everson playing the bass. Praise God. Father, we just give you the glory. I ask you to bless our offering today. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for everyone that's here today. If there's a visitor here, praise God. Thank you for coming here to this house, Lord. We're passionate about getting you plugged into God. We're passionate about teaching you the things of God. Because, Father, I want to learn, man. I want to grow. I want to grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because every time we get together here, it's going to be to give you glory, Father, and honor forever and ever, every Sunday, every day. Father, I miss seeing the school here this week, man. It was lonely in here without the kids running around and Sienna pouring things down the sink she shouldn't have. It was horrible, man. But, Father, I just give you the glory for today. And I got to stop. In Jesus' name, amen.